The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome everyone to the show. And let's see, it's 12-2, December 2nd, 2021. Boy. New Year's coming up. It's going to be interesting next year. It will be. All right. So if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. And, okay, so I want to let you guys know that we're going to be having a matching funds drive for the rest of this month through December. And that means that if you donate $10, we have somebody who will match it another $10. And so your 10 becomes 20, your 50 becomes 100, etc. And if you want to do that from now to the rest of the year, we just ask that you would go check out carm.org, carm.org, and /donate. And you can just donate. Whatever you donate now will be there. If you have already recurring donations or something like that that's already been going, it won't count because that's just normal stuff. It's new stuff. If you increase by $5, then it'll be doubled for for the rest of the month. And if you send it for something new, it'll be doubled as well. So just let you know. I'll be mentioning that periodically. Well, all right. There's something else, and I can't remember. That's happening to me a lot lately. You know, it's getting old thing. Man, I'm telling you, it's kind of interesting. Because, I'm thinking that I know all kinds of stuff, and then I go to talk, and my words and my brain don't work together sometimes. I don't know if you guys have that problem, but that's how it is with me lately, more and more and more, just getting older. But by God's grace, we'll still be used, because it's not the tool, it's the hand that wields the tool. So there you go. All right, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Nathan from Utah. Nathan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. So what do you got?
Awesome. Well, same question as last time. Now, are you ready to have a discussion?
Whoa. So you're starting off in my show. Am I ready to have a discussion? You know, there's a bit of a challenge.
Well,
it doesn't work when you talk to me like that. Okay.
Well, you hung up on me last time, so I'm happy
well, then
to have
watch.
A conversation. So.
Okay, if you want, I'll hang up on you again. You be polite on my show, and we'll have a conversation. You don't want to be polite? I don't deal with you. Okay, so what's your question?
So let's talk. So, same question. So, why should I convert to Christianity?
Because if you don't, you're going to go to hell for eternity, and you don't want to do that, do you?
Okay. I suppose that depends on your definition of what hell is.
A fiery torment of conscious agony in which there is no escape, in which you will dwell permanently in severe pain and anguish out of the presence of God, knowing that for forever you will have no hope of being delivered from it. Okay.
And what reason do I have to believe that that is what hell is,
because
that I would go there if I do not convert Christianity?
Because Jesus is the one who talked about it, and you go to Matthew, Mark 3:29, Matthew 25:46, you also go to Revelation 4:11 and 20:10. It talks about a conscious torment in varying degrees. And Jesus rose from the dead, and he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me." John 14:6. He prophesied his own resurrection in John 2:19-21. And so Jesus said in John 8:24, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." Okay.
Okay, and what is sin?
Sin is breaking the law of God, 1 John 3:4. He says, don't lie. If you've ever lied, you've offended God. There's a judgment to come upon you because it's breaking the law of God. All right.
Okay, so you're quoting scripture a lot here. Lots of people have scriptural traditions. So what makes the Christian one unique?
What are you talking about? I'm quoting you the Word of God.
Okay, lots of people have holy books that they claim are the word of a God, right?
So
what makes the Christian claim to being the word of God, of the singular God?
Okay, you ready?
Claim is the only one. Yeah.
Because in the Old Testament, there are prophecies of Jesus Christ, and the odds of him fulfilling the prophecies are greater than the number of electrons in the entire universe, and is greater than what's called the universal probability bound, which is roughly 10 to the 150th power. And so the mathematical odds of Jesus fulfilling certain things, like being born at a certain time, walking into the city on a certain day.
Where does it prophesy Jesus in the Old Testament?
Zechariah 12:10.
The book of Daniel?
They'll look upon me whom they have pierced. Zechariah 12:10 is an example. Micah 5:2. And from you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will go forth for me to be ruler. His goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity. You can go to Isaiah 7:14. A son will be born of a virgin. And he was born of a virgin. I can go on and on and on.
That's not what that word means in Hebrew.
What word?
So that's the what Isaiah word? One is... That,
wait.
Okay,
what word?
That is... That word...
What word?
I've looked at this multiple times. I've had a Jew read it to me. The word in question there means young woman. What? It doesn't mean virgin.
So then why did the Jewish translators of the Septuagint, which was a Greek translation done by the Hebrews, by the Jews, around 250 BC, when they got to Isaiah 7:14, they translated it into the Greek Parthenon, which is virgin? Why would they do that? Okay, no answer. So
I don't know. Because
that's what they did.
Spoke Greek is a second language.
Because that's what they did. You weren't informed in this.
Okay.
So there are prophecies.
Fine, but lots of people have prophecies, and they say
they
the
do?
Prophecies come true.
Really?
So there's, yes,
lots of
do.
Them have? Oh, okay. So who? Give me some
lots
prophecies.
Lots of different religious traditions do.
Give me one. Mm-hmm. Give me one. Go ahead. Back it up. Let's see.
Muslims believe that Muhammad is the last prophet, right?
And they wait.
In the Bible.
You said prophesied, okay? And Muhammad's not prophesied in the Bible except in Matthew 24:24, where Jesus says,
I know
false
he's
Christ.
Not, okay,
hey,
I know,
hey,
because
Nathan,
I've read the Quran.
Nathan,
yes.
let me finish my sentences. Mm-hmm. If you keep interrupting me, I'm just gonna get rid of you.
Now,
okay. The so-called prophet of Islam, Muhammad, who is a pedophile, false prophet, is prophesied in the Bible in Matthew 24:24. In the last days, many false Christs and false prophets will arise and deceive many. That's it. I debate Muslims on this all the time. So, give me some something. Give me some prophecies from other religions. Come on. Wait.
Okay, that is a prophecy that they believe, though. That's what I'm saying. So people believe that they have, that different things have been prophesied, and they believe that those things have been fulfilled in prophecy. So why is the Christian claim to a fulfillment of their prophecies unique?
Look, first of all, the Muslims couldn't exegete their way out of a wet paper bag when it comes to Scripture. They don't know what they're doing. I've debated Muslims.
Let me finish, please.
I've debated them many times. Muhammad is not prophesied as they want to make it fit. You have obviously not done your homework in this area. So, give me some religious stuff with all these great prophecies. Go ahead. Other stuff? Come on.
Okay. All right. So, you're not understanding what I'm saying, I suppose. So, allow me to clarify. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that I believe what Muslims say about Muhammad, right? What I'm saying is that Muslims believe these things, and when they quote quote the Bible, okay, because you know when you're reading the Quran, I'm not sure if you've read it, but when Muhammad quotes from the Bible, allegedly, these are quotes that you can't find in modern translations of the Bible, right? So he is quoting from material. Okay, allow me to finish.
You are so profoundly uninformed. It's bad.
Okay, so tell me how, and I'll go on in a second.
You go to these other books. You don't say what they are. You don't understand the exegetical processes of the Scriptures. And if you had done your homework and you look at what the Muslims teach, you can find out very easily. They rip things out of context. For example, it'll say in John 14:26, John 15:26, the Helper, when he comes, he'll guide you into truth. They say, that's Muhammad. It is not Muhammad. It's the Holy Spirit when you read the context. But when you tell Muslims this, they don't listen because they're indoctrinated into their false religious system. Now, you said other religions have prophecy, so let's see if you can back up what you're saying. or if you want to retract what your statement was.
Lots of Buddhists believe that Buddha was prophesied in various Hindu.
You got
religions,
any documentation?
Like in the Upanishad.
You have the documentation.
Off the top of my head.
Okay. Any documentation?
No, I don't have it off the top of my head. But you're not.
Can you,
what you're doing is you're.
Can you?
You,
can you?
I am asking you what's unique about Christian prophecies and why these and why Christian scripture stands above other people's scriptural tradition.
Okay,
and
now
you're not making that case.
Yes, I am. Now, before we leave that topic, can you email me at info@carm.org the documentation?
Yes, let me write that down. One second.
Please let me finish talking.
Info@what.org?
Carm, carm.org. Okay. And email me the documentation from the Bhagavad Gita and the other places that has prophecy of Buddha and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
all
if
right.
you don't...
Now, I don't believe that it necessarily does, but that I'm just saying that is what other people say.
So then what you're telling me is you don't know, you've heard it, this is your response, you don't have anything solid, and that's how you're refuting. All right.
Okay. What I'm saying is that people believe that things are in scriptures, just like Christians do. So what makes the Christian claim to what is in their scriptures and the
I'm telling
what
you.
Makes Christian scriptures unique to... Okay, all right.
Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days. 3 days he rose from the dead, full eyewitnesses.
What independent evidence do we have of that?
What do you mean, what independent evidence? No matter what evidence I give you, you're going to say independent evidence. You make so many mistakes in your thinking, as many false religious bad thinkers do. Because what you'll say is, look, listen, you'll say the historical writings from that time written by the eyewitnesses that were collected, and there you say, we don't recognize that. We want something else. Well, I don't recognize that you have a valid argument by saying you dismiss the eyewitness accounts. You want something else. It's ridiculous and it's arbitrary.
May I reply to that?
You can try.
Sure. Okay, so on my last call, for example, you were bringing up the Book of Acts, correct? And you were saying that if this had been written after a certain point in time, which would be the 60s AD, when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, that this would necessarily be in the book if that
did
had
not
already
that.
Happened. That's what
I did
you
not
were
say
saying.
That.
Okay.
Nope, I did
so,
not say that.
All right, what were you saying then?
I said that the inference is that if something of that great significance had occurred beforehand in the Book of Acts, which is a book of history, the early church, most probably it would have recorded it, since it already did record the death of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, but did not record the death of Peter and Paul, nor the destruction of Jerusalem. Logically, it's fair to certainly imply and infer that it was because it was written before the events.
Sure, but it is also just as logical. I mean, somebody can write from the point of view of someone in another point of time, correct?
Yeah, but that's not what the Bible is. You got to stop making these mistakes. You give me some irrational thing and you impose it upon the scriptures. These are the eyewitnesses who wrote this stuff. And then you say someone else could write this. Blah, blah. What about the eyewitnesses? What do you do with John and Matthew, who were eyewitnesses?
Well, Matt, okay.
We get back from the break. You try and come up with a good answer to explain away the eyewitness accounts of Matthew and John. Let's see if you have a good rational one and not something you're pulling out of the air. Let's get back to, open lines 877-207-2276, folks. This is what I do a lot of times in the evenings on different chat systems. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. If you want to give me a call, 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Nathan. Okay, you got an answer?
Yes, I do. So you asked specifically about the Gospel of Matthew, right?
Matthew and John, who were eyewitnesses and wrote about what they saw, Jesus rise from the dead, etc.
Right. So John, I'm not as familiar with off the top of my head, but Matthew I can certainly answer. So Matthew is, he is alleged to have been a tax collector, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's, and that's fine, you know, I'll just grant that that was his profession. I've read material that says that the word there means a toll collector, but, you know, whatever, that's fine. We can just grant that he's a tax collector. Are you familiar with, well, actually, that doesn't matter because Judea was a client state at the time. So what matters here is the quotation, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and remember how he uses the coin, and it's described as a denarii.
Yeah.
Right? Or a denarius.
Yeah. Yeah.
So denarii were not in circulation in Judea at the time.
And how do you know that?
Because Judea, there's all manner of archaeological evidence to this point.
Really? Send me the documentation. Send it to me.
I would love
I want to hear
it.
Yeah, so you do that.
And, okay, yeah. It's
and where are you going to send it? Where are you going to send it?
info@carm.com, right?
Right. And we're going to see if what you say is correct. And if it isn't, then you'll have to repent. Okay? So what else you got?
Okay. All right. So just allow me to finish that part with Matthew, because there's another part to that as well. So when you say that Matthew wrote the gospel, okay, that's an important claim, because the literacy rate in Judea, the literacy rate all around the Mediterranean at the time was very low. A lot of scholars put it at an average of 15% in the different provinces. Judea wasn't a Roman province at the time. It was a Roman client state. And a lot of estimates.
Okay, you're going on. You're just you're going on. Look, you need to get to a point quickly. We're on radio here. You have to get to it quickly. You're not doing that.
Okay, I apologize. So the literacy rate is at 3%. Now, the Gospel of Matthew is written in ancient Greek, which would be a second language to somebody like Matthew, and it is written in a very sophisticated style of ancient Greek that makes a number of word puns that suggest that the writer was a first language speaker of Greek.
Oh boy! Okay, hold on. Hold on. You make a statement. You make a statement. Have you had any Greek?
Yes.
Really? You have. Good. Can you parse for me the verb eimi?
Eimi.
Eimi. Epsilon iota mi
mu
iota.
Yeah, sure.
Parse it, please.
What was that?
Okay, so you say you've had Greek. You can't even parse a simple verb, and so I'm not convinced that you.
Part of what you said.
I'm asking you to parse the verb, eimi.
Oh, what, conjugated?
Wow. Okay, so you don't know what it is to parse. This is what you learn, like in the first week or two when you start studying Greek. All right.
Right.
So you
have
don't
not
know.
Had Greek in a class.
So you don't know what sophisticated Greek is, and actually sophisticated Greek is found in the book of Hebrews. Matthew and Mark and Luke are Koine Greek, pretty common Greek that was written there. So what you're doing is just going with different scholars who say different things. You've not given me anything at all except your reasoning to deny that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So let me ask you, did he rise from the dead? Did he rise from the dead?
I don't have any reason presently to believe that. You're saying that these
eyewitnesses are reasons. The eyewitnesses are reasons. Okay. You said you don't have any reason. The eyewitness accounts in the New Testament, those aren't included in any reason?
Okay. Let's just grant for a moment that these people wrote these gospels and everything. Okay? I will grant all of that. These people lived 2,000 years ago. These documents have been translated through a number of languages. Okay.
No, they haven't. Incorrect. That's incorrect. They're translated from the English into whatever language it is that it goes into, period. So the Greek documents, there's around 6,000, they're 99.8% textually identical in all the Mediterranean area, and the copies that have been uncovered.
Oh,
so
I'm
if you
sorry,
go from Greek
me,
to English,
Greek
it just goes...
Excuse me.
And so when you translate from Greek into English, it just goes straight from Greek into English, or Greek into Spanish, or Greek into German. Okay? You're ignorant about that as well.
So let's try that with another language. So when I translate something from German to English, does it go straight from German to English?
We're not talking about German to English. We're talking about Greek. For example, the New Testament
Greek
translation.
Greek is much more distantly related to English than German, sir. So it should be easier to translate from German.
I tell you what, can you focus? You made a mistake. You said something wrong, and I'm trying to correct you. It's not through multiple languages. You said the Bible is translated through multiple languages. So that's incorrect. It goes from the original language into whatever language you're native in, like, you know, into Mexico or into France or whatever it is, French. So what was your next statement going to be? I mean, I'm correcting you left and right.
Multiple is more than one, correct?
Yeah,
okay. So, and Greek is much more distantly related to English. It's an entirely different branch of the same, of this superfamily of Indo-European languages. And furthermore, ancient Greek was spoken 2,000 years ago. There is all manner of context that is lost with time.
Hey, guy, if you don't know how to even parse a basic verb or know what the difference is between the nominative and the genitive, you know, I would just recommend...
I know the difference between nominative and genitive. Genitive gives possession. Nominative is when you're just talking about it.
It's a topic, a subject. Okay, hold on, Nathan. Look, you work hard at damning yourself. You work hard at calling God a liar.
Okay, you're tugging at my heartstrings, and that's not convincing.
And so I'm just telling you, I'm informing you. I have everything you've said, I've heard 100 times before over decades. And I'm just telling you haven't studied these things. You only hear certain things, and then you latch on to the things you want to hear. Now, why is it that Jesus Christ?
Nathan?
Why is why did Jesus not rise from the dead, according to what the eyewitnesses said and wrote?
What does it mean to rise from the dead?
The same body he died in. He rose from the dead. The same body he died in. He retained the
blood.
Nathan. He died in the same body he died in. He rose from the same body he died in, and it still retained the crucifixion wounds, as is recorded by John in John 20:28. All right. Now, tell me why they were all wrong.
Tell you why the people that wrote these Gospels are incorrect. What if all these people had an agenda? I don't know these people.
Hey, Nathan, let me answer that. You said, where they have an agenda. And what would the agenda be? Since they were Jews who believed in the true and living God, who furthermore believed that it was a great sin to lie. So you see, everything you challenge has easy answers to. And you cannot come back with anything solid. We'll give you one more chance after the break, and we'll move on. Three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, before we get back to Nathan, I just want to give you guys a couple of heads up on some stuff. If you want, please check out odyssey.com. We'll be moving over there. A lot of our videos, odyssee.com. Sign up and then search for CARM and follow us. And it'll be a developing ministry over there. And also, we're doing an end-of-year fundraising drive where it's called Matching Funds Drive, actually. If you donate anything new from this day out to the end of the month, it'll be doubled. We have a guy who helps out and does it once a year. And so it really does help. Oh, boy, does it. My wife, who runs all the finances, is informing me that it's definitely something we need to do every year. So just giving you a heads up on that. And one last thing before we get to Nathan. As he was saying, he's just working hard to damn himself. But the thing is that they had an agenda. The agenda was truth. And if you read the Gospels, they were hiding after the crucifixion. And then later, when they saw the risen Lord, then they became very bold. They said that they were dying for what they saw. That's not different than a Muslim who dies for what he believes. This is what they said they saw. And they saw the risen Lord. And of course, Nathan has to deny that. Okay, Nathan, you're back on.
Hi. Okay. Well, I didn't say that they had an agenda. I just said it's possible that they did, right? Because these people lived a very long time ago, and I don't know them, right?
So you have any other thing?
When mm-hmm. okay, so when you are you say, well, these people saw this and these eyewitness accounts, and they had an interest in truth and in the one true God and so on and so forth. People all over the world have religious experiences with their gods, right?
So no, do they?
Why? And these people write about them? Oh, yes, they do. Yeah.
How do you know?
And these people, I mean, they say they do, right? And okay. And this evidence, this sort of eyewitness evidence, works for you when we're talking about a Christian context.
Well, so, what you're doing is you don't realize what you're doing. You're giving me a okay. vague idea that is non-verifiable, that doesn't have any evidence.
It isn't,
and you're saying
verifiable.
It's all. It's, hold on, Nathan. It's anecdotal at best. And what you don't realize you're making a mistake in doing is comparing the eyewitness historical documents, very well and accurately transmitted from then to now, and you're comparing them to stories of people they say they've seen things, had an experience, and you're saying those are equal. They are not equal. You haven't verified them, and you haven't established that they are equal. Like I said, you're working hard to damn yourself. The eyewitnesses wrote what they said in the Bible. Were the eyewitnesses wrong in the multitudinous eyewitnesses' accounts of the resurrection of Christ? Were they wrong?
Maybe they were, maybe they weren't.
Okay.
That's not exactly pertinent.
And if they were not wrong, then what would that imply?
That would imply that a man rose from the dead.
And
that does not
Jesus,
imply that there is a singular God.
Oh, okay.
That does not imply that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay.
Well, even though Jesus prophesied his own resurrection and that he would perform the action of his own resurrection, and that the Old Testament prophesies his resurrection, and that the prophecies of the Old Testament are that it's God who is dying there, God in flesh from the Old Testament, and Jesus claims to be God and walked on water and raised people from the dead, all of this is validation of who he was, and his resurrection is the proof that what he said is true, and you're just going to sit here 2,000 years later and say, no, I don't want to believe it. You were trying to damn yourself.
That people all over the world have records of miracles and records of experiences with...
Give me some.
Oh, what is the one with Buddha where he danced around in the sky on the lotus flowers or whatever?
Yeah,
you document it,
and you'll find, as I've done with many people, show the documentation, they don't. Because it isn't there.
Okay, I have your email address now.
Or it's a legend that occurs hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after the event. No, this is eyewitness accounts of the people who knew Jesus personally and were with him. That's not the same thing as somebody wrote something down 500 years later, and that's what they say is a prophecy. So why did Jesus not rise from the dead? If he did rise from the dead, he did so according to what he said. He said, destroy this temple 3 days, I will raise it up. He's speaking of the temple of his body, John 2:19-21. You're going to face him. You're going to face him in the day of judgment.
When he says, you're saying that when he says that the temple will be destroyed and it will be, say that again, I'm sorry. I was confused.
He says, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Jews said it took 46 years to build this temple, and you'll raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body, John 2:19-21.
Okay.
So he prophesied it. So do you know anybody else who's been dead for 3 days and then rose from the dead?
The man rose from the dead, other than that some people say that he did.
Okay. Well, tell you what. No matter what I say, you're going to continue to deny who Jesus is and what he did.
You just have to say something convincing.
Well, that's subjectivity. You see, the thing is, what's convincing to one person is not convincing to another. I've had many atheists and people like you tell me, oh, give me convincing evidence. And I have to say to them, well, what would be convincing evidence to you? And then I go through and I dismantle their requirement. Because it's arbitrary and not based in logic or evidence or reality.
Okay, well, we did establish that you weren't familiar with the fact that shekels were in circulation in Judea at the time.
No. You ignored what I just said, and you shifted, and you went to a different area, and it does not say, I didn't say I'm not aware of that. I asked you for the documentation. That's what I did.
I can give you that.
So I'll tell you what, you got one more minute before we take off, because I've given you an awful lot of time. I want people to hear and experience what it's like to argue, and I mean, you know, argue in a polite way with someone who is unregenerate and cannot think clearly and is irrational and has an agenda to deny the true living God. That's you. And you're going to face judgment.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you, are you on Discord at all?
I mean, if
you ever go
to assign all those epithets to me, I'm not sure that there's further discussion.
Well, maybe not. Are you on Discord at all?
No, I'm afraid I'm an old man and I don't use it.
I'm almost 65. I use it. If you want to have real discussions with me where we can get into some stuff over a two-hour period, I'd be glad to do that, and I'd be glad to get into your presuppositions and basically undermine them, because your presuppositions are either rationally based or irrationally based. You have to have an ultimate standard by which you establish what is an ultimate standard, and if you don't have any way of doing that, I'll just rip it apart like a monkey in a cupcake. You have to understand that God alone is the true and living standard of all righteousness, and that if you don't have him, you're going to be lost. And Jesus rose from the dead, fulfilled prophecies, and he said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody come to the Father but through him. He prophesied this, and you have to deal with that. You can't just dismiss it like you like to do and find reasons that don't hold water, as is pretty typical. But look, buddy, we got to go. Email me. Let's get to Sarah from Raleigh, North Carolina. Sarah, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, I am not going to debate with you. I just have a quick question.
Sure, okay.
give you a quick, just a quick background. I was with some friends on Thanksgiving, and on TV we were just listening to music, and it was Brahms' Requiem.
Okay.
And the people that I was with are Catholic. I'm a Christian, and I said, "What's a Requiem?" And they said, "It's the song for the." Either the song or I forget the other word for the dead. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, well, it's, you know, we pray for people after they've died. And I said, so you think that it can make a difference if you,
they said yes.
I wasn't really sure how to respond. And so I was either going to call my dad right away, because he's also a pastor, and he reminds me so much of you, which is why I love listening to you, because you are
so
gentle.
He's probably really good looking.
You're gentle
like
and tender.
I got to say something. We almost got a break here. I got to say something. I was talking to a lady on a, we'll get to you after the break. I was talking to a woman a couple of days ago on a help desk, and she was really great. She did a great job. So we're talking, and I was feeling comfortable with her. She's feeling comfortable. We're joking around. I said, yeah, you know, I'm trying to do this and that, getting ready for the zombie apocalypse. And she chuckles. And I said, that's going to happen right after, you know, right after the alien invasion. And she said to me, she goes, you remind me of my son. And I'm laughing. And I said, so he's probably really, really handsome and smart. And she said, he's 4. And I was busting up so loud. Yeah, that was hilarious. Anyway, my wife said, hey, you tell the 4-year-old thing on the radio? I said, no, so now I did. Okay, sorry. I got a kick out of
that's
that.
That's okay.
Okay, so what do you say to them, right?
So I'm just kind of wondering, like, so you think you can change whether or not they're going to go to heaven? And he said something about purgatory. I think he said purgatory.
Right.
And so I just, I want to say first that I know that if I was doing the right thing, I would take my own time to study the Bible to figure it out.
We got a break, so when we get back, I'll tell you about purgatory and what it is that they think about the dead and stuff like that, and how false it is, okay? Be right back.
Okay,
after
thank you.
These messages, please stay tuned, folks.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's get to Sarah. You still there?
Yes, thank you.
All right. So purgatory, life after death, Catholic position and all that. What do you say to them, right?
Yeah,
it's a tough thing.
I didn't ask anymore. I just was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, you gotta understand that the Catholics aren't biblical in a lot of areas. What they do is they hold to whatever the church tells them. So they, they're like a cult in that sense, in that they just believe whatever the church authority tells them. They don't believe in the Bible as a final authority. And because of that, the church has said that when people die, let me explain how that works really quickly. So when you get baptized, all your original sin is removed, and if you were to die right there, you go to heaven. But grace is a substance that's infused into the soul, paragraph 1999 in the Catholic Catechism. And so if you sin a little venial sin, you lose some of that grace. But if you sin a big sin, like a mortal sin, like murder or adultery, you lose all of the grace, and if you're to die, you go to hell. So to get the grace back, you have to go to the church. The church has the authority to dispense grace from heaven, out of the treasury of heaven earned by Jesus, the apostles, the saints, and Mary. And so the church is your salvation. The church is what you have to go to. The church has the authority. The church has the priesthood. The church has the papacy. The church, and that you'll hear on radio shows where the Catholic Church is there, come home to the church. It's not about Jesus, it's about the church. So this is the mental position they're coming from. So if you were to say, well, the Bible says this, you know, to them it's like, what? What do you mean the Bible? We go with the church. This is what you're working against. But you have to understand that the Bible says, Isaiah 55:11, that the word of God will not come back empty without accomplishing what God desires. All right, so you speak scripture anyway. Now, they teach that when a person dies, that he has to go to purgatory and suffer because he doesn't have all of his sins completely removed and the effects of sin removed.
Everybody?
Yes.
Everybody goes there first.
Unless you're not a Catholic or you're an atheist or something like that and you just go to hell. But those who, in the Catholic religion and some outside, depending on which Catholic group you want to go with, then they go there and suffer for thousands of years. And then they are made worthy.
Sorry.
They're made worthy to then enter into heaven. And purgatory is this place where they go for purification and things like that. And so, because of that, you can do a requiem for the dead. And you can have indulgences done for the dead where certain graces are moved from the heavenly realm through the authority of the priest or the ceremony that you do and apply to the people in purgatory to get them out quicker. And sometimes you can put money towards this and get them out quicker. So this is what's going on with them. And so what I do is say, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:7, it's appointed to men to die once. After this comes judgment. There is no second chance. There is no purgatory.
Okay. That's cool. That's what I was wondering. And like I said, I know I need to do my own research, but I knew that you would know a little bit more. And I listen to you almost 5 days a week, and I do believe that people that believe that consider themselves Catholics, excuse me, that they are not going to the same heaven that I'm going to.
They won't be going to any heaven.
I don't believe that they're going to heaven, and I have.
If they believe
official, that to people, and it's hard. But I understand and I agree with everything I've heard you say for a while. I understand that, but when I just wasn't quite sure how to respond,
It's normal. I've written a great deal on Catholicism. I don't know how many articles. Well over 100 articles. And I love debating it. I love teaching it. And Roman Catholicism is apostate. It's false, has a false gospel. And all who believe in official Roman Catholic theology when they die, I believe, will go to eternal damnation. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Well,
Thank you. Thanks I love you. I appreciate you.
Okay, great. Call up the office and tell my wife how great I am, okay? Because I need all the help I can get.
Okay.
All right. Okay, thanks. All right, that was Sarah. Let's get to Glenda from North Carolina. Glenda, welcome. You're on the air.
Matt, this is Glenda Smith. Mm-hmm. I was in response, my thing is in response to Nathan, who said that the shekel or the denarii was not used during Jesus' day. I found something on the internet where it was. It says, although the official name of the temple tax coin was half a shekel, Jewish sources record that only coin type that priests acknowledged was the one called the Tyrian shekel. So it was in use called a shekel, and it was in use called a denarii also. So,
can you send me that documentation? Because I can put together an article and just compare them. Because when we get things like this, I like to have documentation. I like to have documentation for the other side as well. So,
right.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll send it to you.
Sure.
Also, I was just thinking that if Nathan spent half as much time reading the Bible and asking himself the questions, you know, or just listening to what the Bible says,
yeah,
God might choose to speak to his heart.
Yep.
Rather than going around arguing against it. I mean, yep, that makes no sense, really. He didn't argue with the antiquity,
no,
or the historical,
no,
things that other people believe. It's like he's got to,
right,
just destroy people's faith and not even accept it himself. So,
right,
it's
and
sad.
Every argument he gave, I've heard many, 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 many times before, and it's nothing,
yeah,
new. So the denarii thing's a little bit new, so I'll admit that. But everything else, no. It's just basic stuff.
Well,
and he's not done his
homework.
I'm
sure that when it was first interpreted by the King James translators,
mm-hmm,
or some of the other earlier ones even,
mm-hmm,
that was all considered. And they were a lot smarter in understanding closer to the Greek language than we are even today,
right,
understanding. But I mean, they wouldn't just nonchalantly say something that was, I mean, the argument would have been a long time ago, way before Nathan was born.
Right.
So, anyway,
yeah,
it's out there. I will send what I got here.
Okay, well, sounds good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Sir. Thanks. Appreciate you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Glenda. All right, let's get to our last caller. If you want to call, 877-207-2276. Bert from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome, you're on the air. Bert.
Hello?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
If someone passes away, do they have to go to either heaven or hell, or is there some place like for people that kind of not, you know, in the middle maybe, and they're, you know, trying to decide which way,
no,
they go or whatever, I don't know.
Nope. There's only good place, bad place, no in-between place. There's no purgatory. There's
what
nothing.
I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
The reason I'm saying this is because I've always had a special relationship with God about when people die. I've always known when I've asked, days ahead of time, as I'm not
going to
die.
You're breaking up a little, so it's hard to understand you. I want to make sure I understand you. So, could try it again? Okay. You know people, something
right,
about a special relationship?
I'm driving. Let me pull over. Maybe if I stop,
right,
it'll be better. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit better, yeah. I just want to be able to hear you.
A little
you,
bit better?
All.
Okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I've had a relationship with God where I've been able to ask him if people that are going to, you know, they're like, they're sick or hurt or whatever, if they're,
mm-hmm,
going to make it. I always pray. I said, is this person going to make it or not? And he tells me yes or no. And he's always right, of course.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you believe,
sure,
Jesus Christ is God in flesh?
Oh, definitely.
Do you believe
but
that?
But the thing is,
do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? No other way?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. So God tells you things?
Yes, he tells me yes or no, and he's always been right. Now, I only know it a few days ahead of time. I don't know, like, months ahead of time, or even weeks ahead of time.
But I'm a little confused. I thought you said about going to heaven or hell. So he's telling you if they go to,
yeah,
heaven or hell?
Yeah, because, no, let me explain, okay, why. Because the people that I have asked, this has only been over the past, like, I would say maybe 7-8 years. I don't know exactly. It's been going on. I never asked before. And it's been
I'm not
people
sure
that I don't even know.
When you say God, sorry, tells you, what does he tell you, yes or no, in regard to?
He tells me, I say, is whatever, I say the person's name, is this person going to make it, yes, make it or not? And he
make
tells
what?
Me yes or
what do you mean make it? Make it or what?
If they're going to keep living or die.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
So I had some. I even had my mother and my father that did it. You know, passed away, mm-hmm. and I knew several days ahead of time that they were going to die. I didn't know weeks ahead of time.
Yeah, that's often called a word of knowledge. So what else do you have about that? I mean, you want to know if people go to heaven or hell?
Because I had a really good friend recently that passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And we were real close when we were young, and then we lost touch for a long, long time. And then we had, like, a reunion, and we kind of got back together, and I got to like her and everything, but she was a little rough.
Okay.
So she passed away. I don't know what kind of person she's been or what she, you know, much about anything about her.
Okay.
But I was, like, extremely, extremely upset about her passing away that, you know, even more than my
Do you have a question? Do you have a question, though?
Well, no. My question was whether or not they could have one or the other. And the only reason
I don't understand. I don't understand. Something,
right,
one or the other.
And then maybe you'll understand.
One or the other what?
All right. They're going to live or die. All right. Heaven or hell.
But you said she died.
All right. Yes. All right. Okay. Let me finish, okay?
Okay.
So anyway, this particular person, I was upset for many days. And I wasn't even really real close to her. I mean, I liked her and everything. More so than my mother and father. And I kept wondering why I'm so upset. And the only thing I could think of is maybe she went to hell. Because I don't know enough about her.
Okay.
And maybe that's
so
why.
So are you asking me a question about this? Because...
No, I'm asking a question of whether it was somewhere else. So I was hoping you wouldn't tell me that.
Okay, that's the question. And no, there isn't. Do you go to heaven or you go to hell? Do you attend church?
Yeah.
Do you attend church?
That's the question I didn't want to answer.
Do you attend church?
I was hoping, but I kind of got know what happened now.
Do you attend church? Do you
Sometimes.
Go to church? Okay.
Sometimes.
Well, I would recommend that you find a good church and get in there and get solid teaching. Now, I affirm the charismatic
gift.
Well,
that's the problem. I usually go straight to God because when I've tried to go to some churches, I don't, you know, I like them for a while and then they start telling me things.
Okay.
I've got...
Okay, hold on, Bert.
I haven't come
Hold on. You need to be involved with the church, and you're saying a lot of things. You're just kind of going off in different directions. It's difficult to follow you. Probably my problem, but no, there is no alternate place other than heaven and hell. There's no purgatory, and that's it. You trust in Christ or you don't trust in Christ.
Well, I didn't know if there was purgatory or maybe somewhere else.
There isn't.
I wasn't saying where.
It's just...
Okay, then that answered my question. That's why I was so upset.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot. Okay, we're at the end of the show.
All right, thank you.
All right. Okay, folks, hopefully tomorrow we'll be back on the air by God's grace. We'll talk to you then, and have a good evening, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.